CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Latin American professor at the Strategic Studies Institute. And we go now to what appears to be a festive story, if you understand the old 20th century model of the Battle of the Bands, where you would have a playoff before cheering fans. But in this instance, it's tens of thousands of people, and it's about the government of Brazil and the election of Brazil and the current president of Brazil versus a previous president of Brazil. And I go to these dueling protests, the first one September 7th. This is the New York Times reporting in Rio de Janeiro. Beleaguered by declining poll numbers, a sputtering economy, and judicial investigations, President Bolsonaro called on his supporters to rally across the country. In a show of force, critics fear could be a prelude to a power grab. However, that was matched on the 13th. Well, the report is from the day before, from the 12th on Sunday. Thousands took to the streets in Brazil on Sunday to protest against President Bolsonaro. The demonstrations were organized by opposition groups to show their frustration with the government's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic and corruption allegations. All right, that's enough, Evan. These pictures show tens of thousands of people. I mean, these are large crowds in different cities, Rio de Janeiro, Sao Paulo. Is this typical of a Brazilian election? It is the Mardi Gras state.
Well, first of all, John, yeah, the protests came, you know, again, in conjunction with Brazil's Independence Day. And so that was a rallying point. But the broader point was Bolsonaro trying to really stir up his base. His popularity in the polls is about 27%, but he has a very strong loyal following who, you know, deeply believes in what are oftentimes his very colorful ways of characterizing the situation. He's been very active on social media talking about what he believes are some of the rigged nature of the Brazilian election systems. Using rhetoric that we've heard here in the United States as well, calling for a paper ballot. He got himself into a mess with the Brazilian Supreme Court over this, talking about, false electoral claims and trying to go after him. So there have been a series of back and forth battles, that really kind of led to this rally in which he's really trying to shore up his base. Now, neither the pro-Bolsonaro rally nor the anti-Bolsonaro rallies were, quite as anticipated. So, you know, they talked about, 2 million people possibly coming out in the pro-Bolsonaro rallies. The numbers I've seen were much lower. In Sao Paulo, maybe 125,000 people, something similar in Brasilia. The anti-Bolsonaro rallies, in which most of the major anti-Bolsonaro, or at least leftist parties did not participate, were really much smaller. The number I saw, maybe 6,000 people in Rio. The interesting thing about the photos, I think the one that was carried in the New York Times story is you actually see, people basically on the streets in Copacabana in Ipanema, which actually, has less to do with a protest than what happens just when people hang out in Copacabana in Ipanema, wonderful, beach destinations. But it certainly does point to what is at stake at Brazil as we move towards next October's 2022 elections, in which there is a very real prospect as kind of the center collapses and as Bolsonaro's base shrinks, that if it's a Bolsonaro versus Ignacio Luiz Lula da Silva, Lula and the left could win in Brazil, which again would be one of the final bastions of conservatism in remaining in South America to fall, which would leave us with a vastly transformed South American political landscape, and it has grave implications for the United States.
We know that it is a potential risk here that the government can fall. It's happened before. I remember in the 1970s, there was a military coup that swept through Brazil, and it was many years reestablishing itself as a transparent democracy. And I read this from a statement from what are said to be 150 parliamentarians, ministers, ex-presidents from 26 countries, dateline 7 September, when the coterminous with the pro-Bolsonaro. We elected representatives and leaders from around the world are sounding the alarm. Right now, President Bolsonaro and his allies, including white supremacist groups, military police, and public officials at every level of government, are preparing a nationwide march against the Supreme Court and Congress, stoking fears of a coup in the world's third largest democracy. President Bolsonaro has escalated his attacks on Brazil's democratic institutions in recent weeks. And then it goes on to detail. Members of Congress have warned that the 7 September mobilization, the large gatherings, modeled on the insurrection at the United States Capitol on 6 January 2021, when then-President Donald Trump encouraged his supporters to stop the steal. I'll stop there because this is a long list of signatories, including former Prime Minister of Spain, former President of Paraguay. You've read this, Evan, so you know all these figures very well. They're just names to me. I won't go through it, but it's not just Latin American countries, or it's not just Spanish-speaking countries. I see New Zealand, the United Kingdom, Australia, France, Chile, everywhere around the world concerned with Bolsonaro. Is this a sophisticated form of politicking? How to measure this? Have we seen anything like this before in Brazil, Evan?
One of the interesting things, John, this shows me is also the how interconnected flows of ideas and politics have become between the United States and in the region. Clearly you see, alluded to right there, January 6th in the United States. And for me, what is sad is that I also see some of the same elements from the European left, from the Latin American left and others to basically mobilize their own base through this type of alarmism. There was this prediction that this, military coup or other bad things would happen. Playing up to that day, it frankly didn't happen. Bolsonaro's very loyal defense minister, Walter Braga Neto, has made a few, off-color comments about, the importance of having paper ballots in elections that some have taken out of context to suggest that the Brazilian military, is planning another coup. I will tell you, I have had the honor of working closely with the Brazilian military. They're one of the most capable professional forces in the region. They have a strong commitment to democratic institutions. Like any military, you have individual, people who say, different things more or less frankly, but this is very different than, the previous period of military intervention, 64 to 85. And so, I don't see anything like that happening in Brazil right now, but what I do see is a highly polarized politics, with both the left and right, seeing the devil in each other, not unlike sadly what's tearing us apart here in the United States.
Lula da Silva, the former president, now presidential candidate. I see that he's not present at any of these rallies or these remarks, but is he a winner? Is this a Bolsonaro loses, da Silva wins? Is there another road for Brazil to take, or is it that stark?
Right now, Lula does seem to be the person to beat in terms of being positioned to, with the October 2022 elections. Now, it is possible that other candidates could emerge, but Lula, again, having faced prison accusations with over a corruption scandal. Those charges not ruling him innocent, but basically dismissed on a technicality. But the sense that Lula's kind of Brazil's Bill Clinton in a ways, imperfect, associated with corruption, but also highly popular, and with happy memories among many, with Bolsa Família and other things, back when Brazil had a lot of oil money, and that, there was, these good times and helped bring the Brazilians out of poverty. And so I think in some ways the frustrations, that some feel with the style of Brazilian politics under Bolsonaro. Lula is the beneficiary of that. But as we get closer to the elections, just about anything could happen. But right now, absent other changes, you see even that the collapse of what's called the Central Bloc in Congress, you see the head of the Brazilian Senate actually actively working to move against Bolsonaro on his law for controlling social media. You see some cabinet shuffles recognizing his vulnerabilities with the Central in the Chamber of Deputies. So the signs seem to be that, Bolsonaro's situation, although very vocal, is very fragile. And, if things don't change, it will be likely a PT Lula block. But the question is it the really far left Lula? Is it the centrist Lula like we got at the beginning of his first presidential administration? Or is it some other Lula? And I think that depends on the mood of the country and the coalition that brings Lula to office.
In English, because I don't have your Spanish or Portuguese, Evan, in English I see Cuban sites, Havana sites, praising Lula. This is not the same old Lula then to the – not the same old Latin America. Maduro and Havana and Managua have changed dramatically since he was in the office. He's two presidents ago, right? Dilma Rousseff was in between. So if he is a populist, doesn't that mean that he's going to find sympathy in Caracas, in Lima, in Havana, sympathy that he might not have enjoyed a decade ago?
It's interesting. When Lula first came to power, there was an expectation that in order to keep from economically undermining Brazil, Lula needed to have relatively responsible fiscal policy and calm markets. And so what you actually had was a Lula who had a very leftist foreign policy, but a relatively moderate left social policy, although that's evolved over the years. But absolutely, there is every reason to believe with Lula's Workers' Party credentials that, certainly Lula is not Maduro. Maduro is not Pedro Castillo in Peru, etc. But each one of those leaders brings a different flavor of populist leftism. And the net effect of all of those things is a region that is potentially much more disposed to do things against U.S. interests, move away from democratic institutions, move away from transparency, work more closely with the Chinese, be less cooperative with the United States on security affairs and drug flows and things like that. So in a region with which we're very dependent, Lula certainly is one leftist building block in that constellation of diverse building blocks that I think is greatly concerns me when I look at the panorama.
Professor Evan Ellis, Latin American Research Professor, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. One more troubled democracy, Argentina. In this time, we need interpretation because there's a vote against the sitting government, but this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.